Recently, Chinese e-commerce giant Alibaba has released a report on Chinese people's reading habits. It found that the number of China's readers and the total time Chinese people spent on reading both saw significant surges in the year of 2018. So, of course, it'd be quite interesting to see if there are some new reading habits and also book sales. Although some say that this is one of those industries that's possibly seeing dwindling in performance, but reality might tell a different story. So first of all, guys, let's look at this report. And I see that it's based on data from Alibaba's platforms.
Yeah.
And we know this is the e-commerce giant, but how significant is it when it comes to book sales?
So let's first look at where the data from. The report gathered data from Alibaba's platforms, including e-commerce platforms like Tmall and Taobao, which is Tmall and Taobao in Chinese, and also the flea market platform Xianyu, and the internet literature platform Alibaba Literature, attributed the increase to easy and convenient ways to buy books and the popularity of e-books. So we gather some highlights from the report. The first one is actually the number of reading population keeps on increasing because lots of people had doubt that maybe now in China there are less readers. But the reality is different, because in 2018, the number of Chinese readers has increased by almost 30 million, and a majority of whom are people born in the 1990s and 2000. And those who bought or read books on these Alibaba platforms on average have read one more book compared to 2017, and they purchased 5.5 print books for each of them. And according to a report, compared with 2017, the book consumption population in 2018 has firmly increased by 19%. So this means actually people are reading more and they are buying more books, and also they still buy some printed books.
Interesting. So it seems like on average on the Alibaba book sell platforms, it's one book more for everybody, apparently, in the past year. What do you think, Carl? Do you like the numbers?
I do like the numbers. Not just online, but I also like the fact that when I came to Beijing, that there are bookshops everywhere. You know, coming from Melbourne, there was a lot of suburbs that used to have a couple of bookshops or maybe one big bookshop, and they all started to close a few years ago. It became really unprofitable, particularly as online sales of books took off. And also I think people weren't reading as much. So it is nice to see that reading is becoming or remaining cool in China. And particularly amongst younger people. So the post-80s and 90s generation, it looks like are the majority of readers according to this report. And because women are smarter than men, they're buying more books.
And yeah, it's quite interesting that women are buying more books than males. And I wonder why is that?
Maybe I think women like to enjoy some quiet time, because when you have spare time, maybe men like to go outdoors, explore the wildness, but maybe women want to stay at home and read a book with a cup of tea or coffee, just enjoy your leisure time. Is that the reason?
Maybe we're just more lazy. Maybe men are just lazier and we're just playing more video games, perhaps. But no, like I said, I was really struck by the fact that you know, about 40% of the reading population from Taobao and Tmall were from the post-80s generation. So there really is this big group of younger people who I think it's assumed don't read as much. They are buying books and they're consuming a lot of them, judging by this report.
And it's also interesting to see that those born in the 1980s sometimes don't even qualify to be called young people anymore. I mean, we're talking about people, sadly, we're talking about people in their 30s.
Choose your words carefully.
Yes. And it's just often with these reports, they're comparing with age groups of those that are younger and trying to figure out people's behavior as such. So yeah, those born in the 1980s seem to still have an interest in purchasing these books online. And what about readers of different age groups with their preferences? Is there anything that stands out for you.
Yeah, actually, the findings are very interesting because for the readers who were born after 2000, they're keen to buy some used novels. People may be curious about what is used novel at all. It's just those romantic novel for teenagers like Tiny Times, we discussed before the show. It's like really romantic stories for young people to read. Yeah. And as well as reference books, as they are still struggled with the competitive exams such as CET4 and CET6 tests. So usually this group of people, they're still in their college, their university life. So on their spare time, they may want to read something really lighthearted, but they also need to prepare for the very intense exams. And also for the post-90s, their preferences are more divided because I think they're in their different life stage. Someone may still pursuing their master or doctorate degree, so some of them want to buy books related to the reference books for exams, and some of them have already entered a marriage stage or parenting stage, so some of them are interested in buying parenting books and books related to this kind of issue, some marriage counseling and this kind of topic.
So I suppose there's at least two major categories, one being the youth novels. Does that mean if I read them, then I'm youthful? Or maybe it shows that I have rather low self-esteem and intelligence when I'm at this age and still reading these books. But certainly, one author would be Guo Jingming.
Yes.
And, his name just comes to mind. I'm sure there are some other popular ones. The literary style is rather profound, but when you dig deeper, there's nothing there. And all the characters are very young, beautiful, and they're
rich.
And rich. There you go. And there's also, you know, another plus possibly. But you also need a poor person in the mix just to add to dramatize everything, and that's how Guo Jingming's novels work. Sometimes I know he's got some. A legion of young fans out there, so I better be careful with what I say. But my point here is that, because when I was younger, I loved reading romance novels. Not ashamed to admit to that, and it's not here, but with these youth novels, there's a romance undertone, and but the writing is rather flowery language, is my point here. And the other category is... all these books that's helping you to prepare for exams or parenting, getting through tough times in marriage. These are folks only born in the 1990s. Already they need so much help with marriage and stuff. For once, it makes me, someone who's not in a marriage and a bit older, I feel quite good, actually. So these folks have all these real-life obstacles that they need to overcome, and they turn pages to try to get some inspiration, possibly solution, and support. What do you think, Carl?
I think it's good that they're getting prepared, because, let's be frank, I think relationship and sex education in China is pretty well non-existent, so they need to get this information from somewhere, and although the youth novels may imbue them with a completely unrealistic sense of relationships and what romance is really like, once they get a bit older and they realize that, they can then read practical books about
marriage,
how you actually have a relationship, that it's not all lovely and chocolates and flowers and all that nonsense after a couple of months. So it's good that they're preparing themselves for real life, so they're not going to be confronted with disappointment.
Yes, and another thing that this report highlighted is that in the year 2018, there was this popular movement of swapping and giving away books. So what's that about?
If we check the data from Xianyu, it showed that over the past year, Guangdong residents traded or give away nearly 1.6 books per person on average, and shows the most in China, followed by Shanghai residents with nearly 1.1 books, and Beijing residents with about 1 books, and they maybe exchange or just sell the book on the second-hand platforms. I think it's a good trend. People are becoming more environmental friendly.
I think it's a really good trend. It's also really useful because if you live in a relatively small apartment and you like buying physical books rather than e-books, And you know, if you move, books are really annoying. They're incredibly heavy,
yeah.
And they're just a pain.
Mm.
So being able to pass them on to someone else is not only practical, but it's also a nice way, I think, of sharing something. A book, in my eyes, is a very intimate experience. You spend a lot of time really engaging with an author and a topic. And if you enjoy it, it's nice to be able to pass that on so someone else can share in that experience.
Mm-hmm. But don't you sometimes feel a little bit unnerving if you are a germaphobe? A germaphobe. So therefore, when you're opening the book, flicking through the pages, and then you see the greasy fingerprints of strangers, and your very clean hands are getting on to that too. What do you think about that?
Maybe I have clean friends? I don't know. I've never encountered that.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing about the physical books, is every book can carry a story. Every book can carry a scent from the previous reader, or this is just getting way too romantic, Carl. But
and I have to say, although now I'm going to be worried about breathing in someone's dirty finger gunk, there is something really nice about old books. Old books have a really nice smell of history.
Mm. What about put on your gloves so you can resist the germs?
That's a very good idea. Thank you. If the surgical gloves can be provided, then I'd be more than happy to donate and also read some more, maybe from that section. But when we saw, what was it? One? It's just above one book that's being traded. I'm sorry to say. That sounds a bit too small. Dismal.
Because it's on average. You know, China has a large population. Maybe not many people want to sell or exchange their books. So when you divide it into the per person, then the number is really small.
And also, if you look at it, people are buying, 5.5 books, print books each year. So they're giving away about 20% of their books.
Oh, yeah.
So that's a pretty reasonable number.
Mm-hmm. Also, the 5.5 print book for on average in China, that's pretty low too, especially if you compare to, let's say, countries that have lots of readers that are hungry for knowledge, like Japan or Germany. Of course, it's kind of like you're comparing with the good students, and that could be biased too. It's always double digits. And in China, I think we've been struggling to up that number a little bit. It seems like if you can read about 5 books in a whole year, so more than 2 months a book, is that too aggressive? A goal.
I think the excuse is we have e-readings now.
Here it goes.
Yes, because you can't only count those physical books, but you also need to put the e-books into consideration. Because I think now more people, for the young generation, they may use e-readers more. For example, now I just buy physical books for the design or the layouts or something you really need the paper form. So I prefer to buy e-books if it's available online. Then I can transfer it to my e-readers and I can bring it very comfortably, and I can bring it everywhere whenever I have a fragmented time. I can just bring my e-readers out and read it. So, and also, you know, now we have so many e-reading apps in all your, for example, social media. Like before, people may compare with each other about their WeChat steps, but now people may compare with each other with the readings, because so many people will share how much they read and how many books they read every month, trying to beat others in terms of ranking.
So that is a feature that is inbuilt the app?
Yeah, so if you check your WeChat, there's a WeChat rating, and then you can get many free books. And sometimes if you send this book to your friends, or you invite one of your friends to use this app, and then you can get one or two more free books.
Oh, interesting. So there is actually the encouragement for people to get involved.
Yeah, and there's a calculation. Like, for in this week, you take how much time reading a book, or how much your friend used their time to read a book. So there will be a comparison there. And also they will recommend you what your friends are reading, and maybe you can have some insight to choose the book you want to read.
Well, Carl, listen to this. More than 50% of the readers were found in this report that they read both print and digital books. So they pretty much have the best of both worlds. What are you, a kind of reader?
I am mostly a traditionalist, so I would much rather buy a physical copy of a book than an electronic download. Although I do have an e-reader, which is useful for a couple of kinds of books. If it's something like a textbook, it's maybe easier to buy and a bit cheaper to buy an electronic version rather than carrying around a big physical book. I've also own a couple of books that I really wanted a physical copy of because I was quite attached to them. But they're just too big and heavy and delicate to carry around. I also spend a lot of time reading in bed. And I've got to say, if you get tired, it's a lot less painful to drop a Kindle on your head than a huge hardcover book. So there is a practical reason for, you know, health and safety reasons. Sometimes it's better to have an electronic book.
Yeah, well, we do see that there is the rise of so-called e-reading here in China. And what are the highlights this year?
I think for the highlights is that most of the post-90s, they have already demonstrated like a very outstanding preference for the e-readings. And according to a 2018 Chinese Reading Report, 46% of the readers who choose e-readings are post-90s. And people aged between 18 to 34 has account for more than 60% of users on Tmall's e-reading app. So the peak time for reading books on cell phones is from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. That's generally before the bedtime.
So that's when people read. Is it a way to put yourself to sleep?
It can be. It's a 11 p.m. is a little bit early to be going to sleep, but nonetheless, it is a really nice way to unwind, particularly after a long, stressful day at work and commuting and maybe spending time with family, which can be lovely and annoying. It's nice to have a bit of escapism into a different world, a world of imagination.
Yes, absolutely. And I can't agree with you more that this can actually become a really nice sort of habit one can have, as in most of the time during the day, our attention is dominated by our smartphones and other devices. But before you go to bed, as a lot of people complain about having bad sleeping quality and all that, and the top suggestion is to lock your smartphone away and get away from the screens and actually going, oh, but if you're doing e-reading, then that could also be a bit of a problem or not here, but certainly with the traditional books, and then it helps you to unwind and without so much light that's exuded into your eyes, and then maybe it's a good way to slow down and get some Z's, that kind of thing. And also, guys, what is reshaping China's reading market as this seems to be the topic of discussion for a lot of these publishing companies?
I think one thing is the purchasing behavior. You actually have seen readers, they move from buying paper books online to purchasing e-books and to read on e-readers' devices. Because I think now there are more and more e-books, so we usually, if you visit Amazon or Dangdang, just Amazon, I think, they provide you with two options, whether you want to buy the physical book or the e-books. I think now many people just choose buy the e-books. I think that's definitely a change and reshaping Chinese reading market.
Can I just ask one question quickly, please?
Yeah.
Sometimes when you check the price of the ebook and the physical book, well, with the physical book, we know that trees have been chopped down and going through a really polluting and complicated process for the book to be made. And with ebooks, they also cost a lot. I was so surprised by how expensive ebooks can be a lot of the times. So what about the pricing here? I mean, is ebooks going to enjoy this advantage in the long term when price is not really something that makes it stand out?
And look, I think this is very complicated question because there are some ebooks that are the same price as a physical book.
Yeah.
They're somewhat annoying when that happens. I think ebooks can, you generally find they're a little bit cheaper. And printing a book nowadays, it's a reasonably inexpensive process, and shipping it can be reasonably inexpensive. But you've still got to charge a fair amount for, you know, publishing and payment that goes to authors. So there's always going to be, you know, obviously a proportion of the cost that's going to be set no matter what the format is.
And also I think when you're purchasing ebooks, you are thinking, oh, we're protecting the environment because you can just skip through all the pollution part. And also now the paper price has increased a lot. So now we are saving the forests. So by purchasing ebooks.
I do appreciate the green vision of things, but just one thing to sort of highlight, but kind of a downer. Well, think about how lithium batteries are made. I mean, how the e-book, the e-reader is being made. I mean, when you think about the manufacturing of that, sometimes it's kind of a difficult calculation of which is the more pollution is cost.
And you said that, you know, producing books does produce a lot of pollution, but there are a lot of publishers that have very green, very sustainable forests and paper production methods. But I do think it's like smartphones. It's nice having a shiny new one, but we do need to be conscious that it can, it, those things become e-waste at the end of the day, and they're really hard to recycle and are very polluting.
Certainly. And, well, we are seeing people starting to read more on apps, and also people maybe buy Kindle and those e-readers. That, I suppose, is better for the eyes because it's designed for that purpose solely, not just looking at your smartphone, which in comparison can be a little bit more harmful to the eyesight. Well, guys, one last question for this topic really is, why do we promote reading and why is it a good thing?
It is good to have a way of exploring worlds beyond the physical one in which we spend all of our time. And I think books provide a unique opportunity to do that. And it's really hard to condense as much information into a consumable format as you can get from a book. You can watch a documentary, you can watch a TV show about something and learn something, but the reality is you can cram all of that information often in an hour-long documentary into a few pages of a book. So you get more bang for your buck in terms of learning and knowledge from a book.
I really like the saying that never stop the passion for learning in your life. And apparently book is a shortcut for you to learning more things about the world. Yeah, make your life richer.
Reading is certainly, it's a beautiful thing. But I just feel with videos and other devices these days, reading is not as popular, as colorful, emotion as some of the competitors. And yeah, well, it's up to you to decide what, which screen or the pages deserves your attention. We'll be back after this break.